We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
I admit, I was mesmerized. I didn't know I could love golf as much as I loved it yesterday. Good God, what a win for golf. What a win for all of us as we got the match part two. We get to see Mickelson. We get to see Tiger. We get to see Brady. We get to see Peyton. And it lived up to every expectation, which is tough to do in today's society. In fact, by the way, we're even asking you to give us the match part three already. That's how excited we are for what yesterday was. It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, SiriusXM Channel 80, and smart speakers everywhere. I'm Jason Fitz in for Trey, Mike, and Junior. This is the first. I'm in for all of them. They're all gone. I'm hanging out. And what we're doing is throughout the course of the morning, we're giving us different co-hosts, different perspectives, different people tagging in throughout the course of the morning. And we're about to be tagged in by one of the best that we have in golf. Before we even get there, I have to say yesterday was a huge aha moment for me. As we get the mic'd up element of it, we get the trash talking, we get the side bets, we get all the money being raised for COVID-19. But through all of it, it felt like in this moment, golf grabbed everybody. Even if you're not a fan, it grabbed everybody and brought them in to a different world. I think all of sports won yesterday because you can look at what happened and you can say, wow, this needs to happen across the board. Golic and Wingo presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you on Twitter, now that we've had the match come through, part two, we're asking you to fill out the match part three, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and give us the celebrities. I love how many of you are catty enough to be tweeting us at Golic and Wingo that you want Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan to be the other two. So we're going to get a little perspective on this from one of our best. But before we bring him in, Michael Collins is going to be joining us from Maddie and the Caddy. That's the podcast. Well, he's the caddy portion of the podcast. The Maddie portion, Matt Berry, wanted to give us a little bit of something to greet Michael with.
Good morning, Jason Fitz, Golic and Wingo, Matt Berry here, a.k.a. the Maddie half of the Maddie and the Caddy of the podcast. I want to thank everyone at the show for actually featuring some podcasts on this Memorial Day. And you're actually about to interview the other half, our caddy and yours, Michael Collins, America's Caddy. And he's going to tell you that the match, part two, was the greatest thing in golf history. Better than the Masters, better than Tiger winning in 2019, because Collins is a sunshine and rainbows guy, and I respect that. Here's what I'll say about the match. Number one, Justin Thomas, TV star in waiting. I know he doesn't want to hear that, but that's what he is. He was captivating the entire time. I loved hearing from Justin Thomas. I thought Charles Barkley was exactly who you thought Charles Barkley was going to be, which was entertaining. And there were a couple of spots where the trash talking between the groups was good, but it went exactly how I thought it would. Brady was going to play a little tight because he's been getting ready for football. Phil Mickelson was going to be entertaining because it's Phil. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you look at the picks on ESPN.com of Maddie and the Caddy, this half picks Tiger and Peyton because of a couple things. One, Peyton's been retired, has more time to play golf. Two, Tiger's home course. He knows how to play it, just like in the One Club Challenge where he went 4-iron, 4-iron, and was putting for birdie. But it was good. It was fun. I enjoyed it, just like I enjoy doing the podcast with Collins. And I start each and every episode off like this. I say, welcome to your weekly T-Box dysfunction. And that's because it's who we are. We don't agree on anything. We don't get along, although we love each other. And as Caddy will tell you, when we take a picture next to each other, it's like the number 10. But that's exactly who we are. We're 10 shots above par every time we play golf. And the reason that I'm not on with you live, I do have to work today. I'll be on the 5 p.m. Sports Center, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern with Elle Duncan. But to be perfectly honest with you, I just wanted to sleep in. I didn't want to be up at 7 a.m. to do this with Caddy, but I have to talk to him each and every week. But Jason Fitz, I love you. Everyone enjoy Memorial Day. Remember why we get the 3-day weekend. And Caddy, I'll talk to you later. But go ahead and bore them to death now with how you thought the match was the greatest thing of all time.
Oh, he's throwing shade. Matt Berry throwing a little shade, and he's right. It's a podcast edition of Golic and Wingo because we have all the podcasts that we're featuring. And so now, as he referenced, we're going to be joined by the caddy, and that's Michael Collins. He just said it was the greatest moment of golf, or at least that's what Collins would say. That's a loaded question brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol Shaving Cream comes out thick and rich and doesn't break down. That's why Barbasol is America's number one shaving cream. Better buy Barbasol. All right, caddy. Michael Collins joining us now. Was it the greatest thing to ever happen to golf?
No. This is why, look, this is why Maddie is like the little brother in this relationship, you know, where he likes to, as a little brother will do, hit and run. Because he knows if he sticks around, big brother's dropped the hammer on him, you know. And so he also knows that he doesn't want to admit that weather played a huge factor in this. There's a bunch of stuff to break down. Now, yesterday was amazing. And, you know, I'll be honest, too. When you were saying this is exactly what golf needed to have that stage and how great it was to have that stage. So I also do a show with Pat Perez called Out of Bounds on Sirius XM on Tuesday nights, right? And Pat has been screaming, golf is coming back too soon. Golf is coming back too soon. What's the rush? What's the rush? And, you know, he really piqued my, maybe he's got something there. And after seeing this yesterday, I go, that's why. That's why there's such a big rush to get for golf to hurry up and get back. Because the first event today is 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks out from the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. And so while MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL, while they're all deciding how we're coming back, golf is like, we'll come on first. And now I know why the big rush is for them to come on. It's because we saw, like with the Bundesliga, which again, I'll get into that and how pumping crowd noise in there was horrible. But seeing them come back, when's the last time that you on a weekend was like, yo, Bundesliga soccer's on, man. Let's put it on. Check it out. Like, nobody. I mean, I watched the Premier League and I watched La Liga, but Bundesliga? You know? But this time it was like, you know, I want to see this. I want to see how this goes down. This is great. So watching golf yesterday and the trash talk between Justin Thomas and Charles Barkley and Charles talking to Tom Brady. Tom Brady splitting his pants. Like, even though some of the stuff that happened because of Mother Nature was a dumpster fire, it also made for compelling TV. The cameras in the carts was spectacular. It was great to see those guys compared to the week before when all four players walked and carried their own bags. I thought having the cameras in the carts and having each guy in the carts was great. The only thing that was disappointing, and the reason, this is why I get back to little brother Maddie, who's cute.
He is a cute guy. I mean,
he's cute. Ah, look at all little cute guy. Look at him with his opinions. Oh, that's so cute. but the reason that he got it right was because of Mother Nature, not because it was Tiger and Peyton played better. Phil was one, nervous in the beginning, but if you remember when they first started playing, both Phil and Tom had rain gloves on. Phil never plays good with rain gloves on, ever, even when in pro events. And Brady, it was obvious, had never even played with rain gloves on before. So they were three down to make the turn. And if you remember, the rain let up a little bit then. And don't you know, literally, Mickelson and Brady won the 11th. They missed a really legit chance on 12 and 13, and they won 14. So they, in a stretch of four holes, after both teams tied on number 10, they had a legit shot of being going from three down to being one up after the first five holes on the back nine. And Tiger and Peyton basically hung on for dear life coming down the stretch. And then when the rain came back in, Brady puts the rain gloves back on, starts hitting bad shots again, and that was it. They just couldn't overcome that. But that's golf. But I'm sticking to my guns and saying that if the weather would have been perfect, that Tiger and Peyton would have won that front nine, but that Phil and Tom would have come back and because that was what I said in my prediction was that that modified alternate shot on the back nine is where Mickelson and Brady were going to shine, and they did. And the other great thing about this, how about this one? As this match is going on, because everyone's talking about, you know, how are we going to have the match three and who's going to blah, 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 this and that. So during the match, I get a text message and it says, hey, Drew Brees is serious about what he put up on Instagram. So Drew Brees puts on Instagram that he wants a shot at the winners and he's bringing Sergio.
Oh, okay. Michael
now
Collins
that's compelling, and I get a call from Ken Griffey Jr. who's like, yo, text Brooks and tell Brooks, let's me and him show these dudes what baseball guys can do.
All right, Michael Collins from the Maddie and the Caddy podcast hanging out with us on Go Look and Wingo. We're going to do this. I'm going to be a little brother here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why both of you are wrong, and it was the single greatest moment in the history of golf. I'll tell you why when we come back. We'll do all that next. But first, without real sports, we're beginning to treat everything else as a sport. At home, schooling your kids. Why not straight up schooling your kids in backyard ball? Well, all you ballers and couch coaches need stamina, endurance. What you need are almonds. 6 grams of natural energy giving protein so you can run a clean program. Almonds kind of look like footballs, don't they? Yeah. Or golf ball markers, tiny little squished baseball bats. We miss you, sports. We love you, California Almonds. Own your whatever day, every day with California Almonds. Why yesterday was the single greatest thing in the history of all of golf. I'll explain it next. Go Look and Wingo, ESPN Radio.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Can we go on ESPN Radio, ESPN2? Jason Fitz in for the guys. Let's get caught up on some of what is trending. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said during a news conference that starting Sunday, quote, all the New York professional sports leagues will be able to begin training camps. So the New York City area was one of the hardest hit parts of the U.S. by the coronavirus pandemic, but COVID-19 deaths and new infections in the state have been trending downward. ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews tweeted that the Brooklyn Nets will open their practice facility for voluntary player workouts on Tuesday, the 26th. The team said in a statement, quote, the organization will strictly follow the protocols outlined by the NBA and infectious disease experts to ensure that all precautions are taken. She adds that the team will not yet be recalling players who are out of town. Next up, the NHL Players Association Executive Board voted Friday to approve a 2014 postseason format should the league resume its season. Under the format, the current top 4 seeds in each conference would be granted byes, while teams seeded 5 through 12 would participate in a best-of-5 play-in series to determine the traditional 16-team playoff bracket. Very confusing there, but the next step is for the NHL to sign off on the NHLPA's approved format, which could happen in the next few days. The vote Friday should not be confused with the players' formal approval to restart the season. It only addresses the structure of the playoffs should the season actually happen. 2 NHL teams, the Carolina Hurricanes and Tampa Bay Lightning, voted against the format. So we'll see what that means moving forward. And lastly, on the trending list, Eli Manning joined Twitter. I think Not only was he good at Twitter yesterday, Eli Manning may have been the biggest winner yesterday. The two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback creatively announced that he's joining Twitter by paying homage to the movie Hoosiers on Saturday. Tom Brady chimed in with the humorous touch. Welcome at Eli Manning. In typical fashion, you never showed up until the fourth quarter. Anyway, that was the tweet. That was fantastic. But Manning was busy tweeting during the match, as he was yesterday tweeting as a partner of Frank's Red Hots. One of his tweets read, quote, "Just to be clear, I'm not playing today because it would have been unfair. Also, I wasn't invited." Strong move by him to go on Twitter and get all the love and get paid, because it was partnership tweets. So he was getting paid while everybody else was doing all the heavy lifting. That's what's trending, brought to you by Redbox. The greatest mystery of all is now streaming on Redbox. Don't miss the theatrical home release of Scoob. Discover Scooby-Doo's epic destiny and stream this premium rental with Redbox on demand today. Let's go look and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Mike Jr. and Trey. I'm in for all three of them, but we've got different co-hosts that are tag teaming in throughout the course of the morning, hanging out right now with Michael Collins. You can hear him on the Maddie and the Caddy podcast. And so I said before the break, I think what happened yesterday was the greatest moment ever for golf. And hear me out on this one. Okay. I know that sounds outlandish.
I can't wait to hear this, since Tiger just won the Masters.
Right. So I'll tell you this, like, obviously, as everybody knows that listens to the show, I'm not a big golf guy. I respect it, but it's not something that I am drawn to. Right. And so as a result, I can tell you, like, when Tiger won the Masters, I was sitting in a restaurant in Connecticut. I saw the win happen. Everybody was surrounded by a TV. I stopped eating my meal and I said, "Oh, that's cool." And we talked about it the next day because it was cool. What happened yesterday had not just me, but many of my non-golf friends all group texting throughout the course of the day about what we were seeing. So to me, when you talk about home runs, you talk about something that just absolutely gets everybody, and it brings people in from the fringe, and it makes them want to know more about the sport, watch more of the sport, or love the sport. So not just what we saw in the mic'd up portion of it, but Justin Thomas coming out and having so much personality. I think that golf made new fans at an incredibly high level yesterday. And in one day, not in a career arch of, oh my gosh, look at what he's doing over and over and over again, but in one day to have that sort of a slam dunk where so many people were mesmerized because there weren't other things going on. They watched it, they loved it, and they gravitated to the sport. That makes it the biggest moment. That's my argument. No.
And here's the reason why. Is the reason why it's not the biggest moment in golf history is because, yes, it brought new people to watch people play golf, but is that what tournament golf is? Is that what you're going to see when you turn on the Masters? You're not going to see guys in golf carts, number one. You're not going to see guys trash talking, number two. You're not going to see athletes from other sports.
Fair on the athletes from other sports, particularly.
Now, where it was great for people who aren't into watching golf on television, where it was great, I was talking with the producer a little bit earlier about, was what was cool was seeing guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, who are the highest level athletes at their sport. Tom Brady's a GOAT, man. And I'm an Eagles fan. So I did also love the fact that he made reference to, I'm not going to wear red and black, but Atlanta colors don't really bother me. It's the Eagles colors that get me all itchy. And so as an Eagles fan, I'm like, yes. But as a golf person, I think what was great about that for people who don't play golf and is like, I'm not really into golf, is seeing Tom Brady and Peyton struggle to go, oh, snap, wait, so they suck at this sometimes too? Or on the par three, when Brady and Manning hit it closer from 181 yards away than Tiger Woods did. So it's like, wait a minute. I can play something where actually I can suck at one point and in the same game round hit a shot better than what Tiger Woods can. Maybe, just maybe, I should try this sometime. Like, I don't understand. And that's why I was saying that one of the reasons that all athletes, entertainers, and musicians end up coming to this sport, because it can't be perfected. It's impossible. And athletes from other sports can't understand, how can I be perfect and the best in the world at this one thing where people are chasing me or throwing balls at me at 100 miles an hour or trying to slam me up against the boards or doing all of this stuff. I can be the greatest ever and perfect at that. And this game where the ball just sits there, everybody's all quiet. No one's trying to get me. I just have to calm myself down and hit this little ball right over there by the hole. That's it. That's all I got to do. That's so stupid. How hard could it be? And then you try it, and you're like, all right, hold up. Wait a minute. Like, I'm supposed to have some of the best hand-eye coordination ever. I remember first time I saw Dwayne Wade swing club, and it was at Chris Paul's event, but he still played in New Orleans. And the instruction was try not to laugh. Don't laugh. Like, don't let Dwayne Wade see you laugh at him. And I seen him shank one and hit it in the water on a par three. And when he did it, I was like, and I wasn't laughing at him. I was laughing at the fact of, see, Mr. Elite Athlete, you do the same thing we all do. But he still might be mad at me because he thinks I was laughing at him.
well, and let me just say, I get all of what you're saying. I think that there are some elements of what they did yesterday that would make sense to do. I mean, if you could actually mic up and give that level of access to people watching golf, I think your casual fan is going to be more into it. Much like they've talked about so often, the advantage of mic'd up behind the scenes access of any sport is that you feel like you get a peek behind the curtain. Knowing the strategy of what people are going through.
See, this is why not having fans at events and just leaving the mics open is awesome. This is where me and Taylor Twellman we had a big disagreement about this. And Maddie too, the little brother, Maddie and the caddy, was like, if you can't have fans, we shouldn't even have the sports. Shut up. That is not how this works. What is fascinating, and it started with the UFC. We heard things happening inside the ring and right around the ring that we would never have heard with fans. With soccer, we are hearing things happening that we'd never hear. And you know who's the most freaked out and don't want it more than anybody else? The athletes. Because they're like, you can't put mics around if there's no fans, man, because they're going to hear us dropping F-bombs. So what? That's who you really are. That's what happens for real. Guess what happens on the golf course when you're playing with your buddies and your buddy gets in your head and starts saying ignorant stuff so he can win $5 off you? You curse him out. You stomp off mad to the car. Like, okay, big deal. Like, my kids should not have to hear. What? So you don't want to have to talk to your kids. Is that what you're saying? You don't want to have to be a parent and actually explain to your kids. Those are adults using adult language, playing an adult grown-up sport as a profession. And they get frustrated and sometimes they say things that we don't say here at home. Like, oh no, how dare I have to have a conversation with my kid? Like, come on, man, suck it up. Be a parent. So
if there's anything I know, there's nothing that the golfers could say that's worse than what my dad used to say, putting up the Christmas tree. So I feel like we're all going to be safe.
Yeah. And that's the thing on golf too, is the thing on golf is, golfers curse all the time on television. I have yet to go through a week on a golf broadcast watching where I don't hear at least one golfer drop an F-bomb. And guess what? We know what golfers curse the most. And guess what we have the ability to do? Turn the mic off. Mm-hmm. And guess what they don't do? Turn the mic off. You know why? Because that's what get people talk. People are like, yo, Tiger dropping F-bombs. Oh, this is unprofessional. But like people who say that, they're lying. They've never played golf before. If you're complaining about cursing on a golf course or hearing cursing at a football game, like if you really think, oh, it's only sunshine and rainbows and everyone talks like a Disney movie. Like that is not how real life works. It just isn't. So being able to go, one of our edicts is take fans where they can't go. Without fans there, we're going to go and hear everything that we could never hear before. And as we saw with The Last Dance, are sponsors running for the hills? Nah. What are the numbers doing? Skyrocketing. Because everyone's like, holy cow, these guys are just like us. They get frustrated, get mad, sound like us too. That's awesome.
You guys can follow them on Twitter at ESPN Caddy. Check out the Maddie and the Caddy podcast. You know what? I always loved you more than Maddie anyway, but just the fact that you were willing to get up with us makes me you're my favorite of the duo. We appreciate your time. Michael Collins, thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Thanks for all the great insight,
man.
My friend.
I just hope you didn't hear my wife snoring in the background. She literally is sawing trees down in the right behind me. So
that is,
but man,
that
I always get up for you, brother.
That is the joy of marriage. Have a great Memorial Day, my friend.
Thanks,
I appreciate
man.
You.
Y'all too.
Out. Oh, great work from him. And again, don't forget to check out Maddie and the Caddy, a great podcast out there that will get y'all even more of Michael Collins. The dynamic between the two of them is incredible. It's a Memorial Day edition of Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason Fitz in for all three of the guys, Trey, Mike, and Junior. All get the day off for Memorial Day. So what we're doing is something different, a little innovative. We've got different podcast hosts joining us throughout the course of the day, and they're co-hosting at different times. So let's get right to it with host of the Woj Pod, our very own Adrian Wojnarowski, joining us. Woj, happy Memorial Day, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey Fitz, thanks for having me. Happy Memorial Day to you.
So we'll get to the return of the NBA. I watched all the golf yesterday thinking having the guys mic'd up was incredible, and I kept watching it thinking in a world where the NBA may have to come back with no fans in the stands, hearing the guys talk would be incredible. Do you think there's ever a world where we could see that sort of mic'd up approach to the return of the NBA in empty stadiums?
You know, there is, and we've had players mic'd up, but it's been very heavily edited, and it's been pretty, there hasn't been a lot of, it hasn't been really provocative, I guess is the way to say it, Fitz. And that's certainly been by design. And, you know, I think the coaches have resisted for a long time, whether it's in their huddles, with strategy or with anything that was beyond much that was vanilla. Not wanting to allow fans very deep into there. But times may change in this way, and what the league may start pushing teams and organizations to do may be different. So I do know this, that the league, especially without fans for the rest of this year and possibly starting with next season or very limited numbers of fans and stands, wants to be able to try to kind of advance that the broadcast part of it, whether it's camera angles, the access to players, coaches, staff. And so you're right. I think that's going to be an interesting element to see how that evolves through the pandemic.
Well, and that's one of the opportunities you have. I know I keep saying opportunity and that sounds weird in a pandemic, but if you're going to come back in some modified version, it feels, Woj, like you can come back and try different things and maybe fan bases will be more palpable to it. They'll be more open to it because they just want sports to return. So when the NBA looks at the return, where is their line between doing, you know, valuing the regular season and doing something different when they come back?
Well, that's really what they're working through now. Fits with the union, with the Players Association, with their teams, and the league office, trying to find how this is going to be structured. And this is where it's going to get more difficult for Adam Silver. This is where people who have lauded how he's handled this throughout, he's going to start making decisions now that are either going to upset people, alienate some groups, make some think, hey, that's not fair to us. That's an advantage to them. And he knows that. And he knows that whether that's a play-in tournament, whether that's how they're going to structure more regular season games and then into the postseason, that's going to really impact the competitive balance of how this plays out. If you're Memphis, if you're Dallas, and you have a significant lead in the Western Conference, but hey, like Memphis has a tougher stretch of games coming than some teams behind them in the standings. Do they play out, 8 or 10 regular season games? Do they play 5 regular season games, go to the playoffs? You know, those are all questions that the league is still working on. They're going to talk a lot about that this week. Players are talking about that today. There's a general manager's call and the Board of Governors, the owners, and then the team's GMs with the league office on Thursday and Friday later this week.
I feel like every week, Woj, we hear different sports talking about a plan to return. And part of what I constantly emphasize is that a plan is great, but that doesn't mean it's executable, because oftentimes the players will step in and there's a lot to be negotiated. So when we hear things about the plan to return to Orlando, I mean, how real can fans take it when they look at these plans? How executable are they?
Well, listen, it's the intent of both players and the league that they're going to be playing games in Orlando before the month of July is over. That's the hope. A lot of the discussion right now, Fitz, is around the kind of training camp they're going to have and how much time. There's a lot of concern among teams and players that they don't shortchange the training camp part of this, because they've been off so long, and players are not going to come back in great shape. Many of them have been very limited in how much they can do. And players are going to, and I'm hearing it already from teams as they've had players back in for voluntary workouts and their assessment of other guys who haven't been in the voluntary workouts, that they're going to have guys in very different condition. And here's what especially teams, Fitz, who aren't competing to make a run in the playoffs this year, but in their minds are trying to get their group ready to be back in December. Like, they don't want injuries. They're very concerned about injuries coming back out of this that hurt them for next season. And they're watching in the German soccer league the rash of injuries coming back. They've looked at the data coming out of lockouts. And so that's a part of it that really concerns teams, and they want to give themselves as much training camp as they can. And so what that does, though, it does cut down on how many regular season games or play in you can play. And that gets you to the playoffs pretty quickly. And I think that's, you know, there's going to be trade-off. There's only so many days they have here if they want to have this thing done before the month of September is over.
Listen to the Woj podcast. Last week you spoke to Tom Thibodeau. We always appreciate your insight, Woj. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Happy Memorial Day to you and yours. And hopefully we'll get back to the spot where we're talking about actual games sooner than later.
Absolutely. Thanks, Fitz. We'll talk soon, man.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
The life and the glory and the downfall of Lance Armstrong.
There are a lot of people who back then looked at Lance Armstrong like he was one of the best, and he was.
Jordan was also kind of a jerk. Lance Armstrong, also kind of a jerk.
Everyone knew in cycling there was doping,
but he ruined people's lives going about this, perpetuating this lie. He's the biggest anti-hero in sports, and I can't tell you how long.
We were spoiled by The Last Dance. The storytelling, the ups and the downs, the heroes, the villains. We were spoiled by all of it. So the question was, what's next? And last night, we at least got the beginning of the answer to that. But I'm not sure it's going to leave us as satisfied as we want. Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. I'm Jason Fitz, in for Mike Jr. and Trey on this Memorial Day edition of it. Obviously, it's hard to have a normal Memorial Day today in today's world, but this is an important day for so many people. So again, I'll ask everybody just to take a moment, remember what this day is all about. Now, last night, we had the opportunity to watch the beginning of Lance, the newest documentary on ESPN. There was some perception coming into it that it might be, as Buster Olney said earlier with us today, a jocumentary, something told by an athlete for an athlete. that could be used as some sort of an agenda. And we got quickly last night the message that that wasn't going to be the case, as it started very bluntly, started very openly, a lot of F-bombs in the beginning. It started very harshly, and there was no hiding from the real topic of steroids. I mean, of doping. That was the real topic right out of the gate, as everybody was immediately asked about it. As we watched the documentary last night, though, I kept looking at it saying, what's next? Where's the likability? Where is sort of the rooting interest? Because as you just heard, a lot of that exists for Michael Jordan. There is some level of Michael Jordan that people have learned to love or hate, but they respect across the board. Respect is something that Michael Jordan has. Respect is something that Lance doesn't have. Lance Armstrong lost that when the world became aware of what he was doing, right? And so we watched last night, and I watched last night thinking, what's going to pull us in and give us the reason to root for Lance? And the answer came in an interesting form. I'm not sure we've gotten it yet. I mean, the reason to root for him felt like it was, well, because everybody else was cheating. He was doing what everybody else did. He wasn't doing something unique. Why are we holding him to a different standard? But that had me feeling a lot like when you're a kid. When you're a kid and you go to your mom and dad and say, well, yeah, I broke the rules. Yeah, I cheated, but everybody else was doing it. Do we accept that as an answer? And frankly, the other part of how he said it, it wasn't even said with this, oh, you know what? I regret doing it. Everybody else was doing it. I got wrapped up into something I'm not proud of. I made terrible decisions. It wasn't said with a tone of any sort of regret. It was instead said very flippantly, very edgy. Lance Armstrong essentially came out and said, yep, I did what I did. So what? That was his approach. Now, there's a part of all of this that we have to ask, what's next for Lance and what's next for this documentary series? And that's where I think this is going to become interesting, because the legacy of Lance isn't just Lance Armstrong, the cyclist. The legacy of Lance is also Livestrong. We've talked so much about what it meant for cancer survivors to have the opportunity to get help. And his foundation did that. So how do you judge a foundation that's helped so many people when it was created out of a world of negativity? That's all part of what makes the legacy of Lance Armstrong complicated. The legacy of Lance Armstrong isn't just about the cheating. It's about the positive that came from it. Not for him, but for so many other people. As we had the conversation trying to figure out, and even prepping for this show, where Lance stands and how to feel about Lance, I sort of equated it at the time to, if you go back to the old days in the mafia, right? The mafia would do so many terrible things, but how many people gained employment? How many people were able to feed their families? Like, you take this good and this bad that we sort of idealize out of something like The Sopranos and a TV show where you can sort of treat it as it's entertainment. But what Lance did was real. His career was entertaining for many people. Watching him do his work was entertaining for many people. But the fallout from it was very real for him in a negative way. The reaction to all of it for the world was very real in a positive way. So what do you do? How do you sort of make all of this livable? Well, part of it to me comes back to, is there some level of return to the sport for Lance? Is there some level of bring back and hug in this virtual, in a quarantining world, this virtual hug that I want the cycling world to give Lance Armstrong? Because how can we all get on the side of Lance if his own sport and his own community isn't? And to that end, it's been made apparent he won't be welcomed back. In fact, there was a segment on ESPN Radio over the course of the weekend that talked about the fact that Lance Armstrong is not going to be welcomed back to cycling. This is what he said.
There were a lot of people that doped in that era. Like I said, myself included, but none of us have the level of animosity directed at us that Lance does. And I think he views that as very unfair. But the reality of it is that he hurt a lot of people along the way. And even that he won't admit to. He'll say, no, I didn't really hurt him. And it's when you're a person in an incredibly powerful position in a sport, it's very easy to squash someone's career. You only have to say one or two little things. You only have to, you know, kind of wink and nudge and nod a little bit. And there was a lot of that. You know, that's, you hit the nail on the head. Like, there were a lot of guys that doped, and a lot of those guys are welcomed back into the sport because they served their time. They were good people. They made a lot of friends in the sport. You know, they didn't try to ruin anyone's life. Lance did a lot of that kind of thing. And so he isn't welcomed back.
That's Jonathan Vodder, CEO of EF Pro Cycling on Dickerson and Hood over the course of the weekend on ESPN Radio. So listen to what he just said. You know, other people were just nicer people, better people. They made friendships. They made relationships. He destroyed relationships. He destroyed people. But at the same time, while he destroyed people within his sport, outside of his sport, he helped people tremendously. Outside of his sport, he's made a real impact to the world. We talked about all of this, by the way, with Buster Olney. If you missed it, go check out the entire time we hung out on demand in the Go Look and Wingo podcast brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? Go Look and Wingo, ESPN Radio, Jason Fitz in for the guys. It's complicated because you want to take the good that was done to the world and say, okay, this is how we should define Lance Armstrong. But when you've built that on so much bad, and so many people have been hurt along the way, I would argue that Lance is getting in his own way. Lance is the reason that he's not welcome back in the sport, as you just heard. Lance is the reason that he's still a villain. All it would take was some level of actual sorrow, some level of actual regret in what he says and how he says it. All he would have to do is present himself in a more human way. All he would have to do is come back and act like he cares about what he did. And I think the world would be rushing to re-embrace Lance Armstrong because of the good that he's done. We live in a society that is willing to forgive anybody for anything, especially when you've done great things. We live in a world where when you've impacted so many people, the world is eager to forgive you for whatever you've done wrong. All you have to do is genuinely ask for forgiveness. After one night of Lance Armstrong, what I've seen so far is that he's genuine and he's real. But that genuineness and that realness isn't genuine, real approachability. It's not genuine, real sorrow. It's genuine, real don't give a damn. And that is a level of separation that will prevent Lance Armstrong from being embraced, not just by his community in cycling, but by the entire world. It will prevent him from being embraced for all the good that he's done, and it will ensure that his legacy will always be defined by what he did wrong.